This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
U.S. and Germany growing closer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. At the White House yesterday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and President Bush met for the second time in 6 months. But since the U.S. operation in Iraq, Merkel's cozy relationship with the president hasn't been popular with the German public, and Bush pointed that out.
I listen to Angela Merkel a lot. She's got a lot of wisdom. I don't know if this helps her or hurts her for me to say this, but nevertheless.
We asked Ethan Lindsay in Berlin to tell us how Merkel's visit is being viewed in Germany.
Germans were hoping Merkel would talk Iraq. Instead, the two leaders focused on issues where they could work together, Israel, Iran, and trade. Merkel took over the rotating presidencies of the EU and the G8 on January 1st. So a renewal of the world trade talks, known as the Doha Round, is on her mind, as is a possible NAFTA-like deal between the U.S. and Europe. Peter Zion is a senior European analyst for consulting group Stratfor. He says Merkel's early visit may help her sell the deal back home.
She can then use 6 months to shape public perceptions in Germany, in core Europe, and in the United States, most importantly, that this is something that the combined cultures of the West should push for.
German businesses also wanted Merkel to ask some tough questions. They hoped she raised the heat on Washington to loosen strict U.S. accounting rules imposed post-Enron and to open the books at secretive U.S. hedge funds. In Berlin, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Airlines in the U.S. trimmed nearly 100,000 flights from their schedules last year. The FAA says these were mainly domestic routes eliminated as part of financial restructurings. If you've ever flown through Atlanta, it will come as no surprise that Hartsfield Airport remained the busiest in the U.S. The low-cost airline model could soon go long-haul. AirAsia is the biggest low-cost carrier in the East. It's planning cheap flights between Kuala Lumpur and London. We get more from Stephen Beard in London.
AirAsia reckons there's a huge pent-up demand for low-cost flights between its region and Europe. It says the traffic will surely be two-way. Europeans want to lounge on white coral sand beaches. Asians would love to stroll past Big Ben in the rain. AirAsia's projected fares are certainly tempting. The round trip between London and Kuala Lumpur could be as low as $80. But analyst Kieran Daly says the low-cost model won't work well on long haul. For one thing, the carrier won't be able to use their aircraft intensively.
You know, once you've flown the aeroplane once from the UK to Malaysia, you can't typically just turn around and come back again because you'll be flying at the wrong time of day.
Britain's environment minister may not be happy about AirAsia's plans. He's just launched a stinging attack on the aviation industry for failing to curb its carbon emissions. He called the US airlines' attitude a disgrace. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil prices are continuing to slide. Light crude right now trading just above $55 a barrel. Warm weather and strong U.S. inventories continue to depress the price per barrel. Strong showing by tech stocks really boosted the NASDAQ yesterday. The Dow added 6 points to close at 12,480. The NASDAQ powered up 30 points to 2453. The S&P ticked forward a point to 1418. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei plummeted 262 points or 1.5%. This is Marketplace. Today, bids are due for what could become the largest solar energy project ever. But the company behind the effort is keeping mum about its plans. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton explains.
Walmart is asking for proposals to install solar panels on stores in 5 states. If realized, the plan would be 60 times the size of the next largest solar project, Google's California headquarters. But Walmart is not fully committed to the proposal, so clean energy analyst Joel McCower says unlike Google, the world's largest retailer is keeping a low profile.
cuts both ways for them. They have the potential to really be a hero here, but if they end up deciding not to go with solar, that's when they could come under some more criticism.
McCauer says the moment of truth will come at the end of February when Walmart plans to announce the winning bid. Walmart's push for solar stems from the company's pledge to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions 20% over the next 8 years. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriveandbuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. By now, you're used to hearing us at Marketplace feature innovative business models and how they're shaping our economy. However, this next story is a little different. It's about a nonprofit youth organization in New Orleans that happens to have some incredible business savvy. This organization is holding its own in some of the city's most competitive industries post-Katrina. Youth Radio's Patrick Johnson has the story.
When you walk inside Cafe Reconcile, you're greeted by a warm, "Hey, baby." Soul is the primary ingredient in Cafe Reconcile's food, and founder Craig Cucci says it's been that way from the beginning.
I'm a lifelong New Orleanian, and the idea of Cafe Reconcile was born out of a spiritual adventure.
Not an adventure sparked at a business conference, but instead from Cucci's time with a Jesuit priest, who says God can't provide redemption through fried catfish and collard greens. Cafe Reconcile is doing just that, with six-week training sessions in cooking and restaurant management and heaping portions of soul food, all in one of New Orleans' most violent neighborhoods, Central City. 17-year-old Jeffrey Vernor is currently department chef in the cafe. He dreams of going to culinary school. Before Jeffrey came here, he was cooking eggs and pancakes.
Well, now I'm cooking shrimp etouffee and crawfish pasta and smothered okra and collard greens.
The point was to get kids off the street and into the hospitality industry.
We had some really good food at some really good prices, and then the business just took off, and we were able to train over 300 kids up until Hurricane Katrina.
Over a year later, many of those kids are coming back to Cafe Reconcile looking for jobs. Head chef Jerron Smith, who calls himself Chef Joe, used to be a drug dealer, making plenty of money.
As I was making it, I was blowing it. When I started working here, I started making $6.50 an hour. I did more with that $6.50 an hour than I did with all the money I made standing on the counter.
Chef Joe says Cafe Reconcile is helping to improve the city in an unconventional way. The program is catching kids before they get too deep into the street life by using a technique that works well with teens, peer pressure. Each success story started by giving one kid a good job.
Their friends could start seeing them doing good, doing the right thing. Then their friends decided to come, and that took a whole group of them off a corner. You know, because that's the only way we can do this is like one corner at a time.
And slowly but surely, Cafe Reconcile is transforming the lives of young people and the neighborhood surrounding them. In New Orleans, I'm Patrick Johnson for Marketplace.
That story was produced by Youth Radio. Got a question about something you've heard on the program? Let us know by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The rebuilding's nowhere near.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.